Church family, we're going to series of lessons in our Sunday school. We do the lessons here and teach them here, and then we print those for churches all over the place. The Lord has really blessed that ministry. And so we did the Pentateuch, 30 lessons on the Pentateuch. We're doing an overview of the Old Testament. There's 30 lessons in each grouping. If you've ever looked at that or studied the different groupings of Old Testament, New Testament, we understand that there's a group of the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Then you've got the books on history, Joshua through Esther. You've got the poetical books, which would be Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. You've got your major prophets. We call them majors because of the size of the book, really. Isaiah, Jeremiah. We include Lamentation with Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. And then you've got your minor prophets, 12 of those. Those are the smaller books, the minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi. And so we're going through these groupings and then, of course, teaching on them. And we're doing the poetical books right now. And we just started, I should say. There's three lessons on Job on this particular curriculum, I guess you'd say. And the first lesson that you had last week, I didn't teach. Brother Barker was here, did scripture memory. Obviously, the Lord really used him while he was here, which was a blessing. And that was on Job and Satan. And then today, during Sunday school, we taught in our Sunday school lessons and as far as Job and his three friends. That's the bulk of the book, chapter 3 through 37. And then next week, Lord permitting, we're going to do Job and God. Interesting, chapter 38 through 42, as far as the relationship and what God said to Job. I think you'll be blessed by that also. But this particular lesson, I did not teach in my Sunday school. And I know the kids have already had this lesson. Obviously, every teacher is different. Hopefully, the teachers are teaching the lessons I give them. But I want to talk for you a little bit tonight, these first two chapters, about Job and Satan. Church family, you know, obviously, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan doesn't want you to succeed. Aren't you glad that he cannot take away your salvation? Yeah. I'm glad that once you're saved, you're saved. And but Satan, he might not be able to take away your soul as far as salvation, but he can take away your influence or usefulness for the Lord. We refer to it as sanctification, because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, he said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What sanctifies us? What sets us apart? What makes us clean? What's the word of God? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it's the word of God that helps us live the sanctified life. And so before I got saved, I had to get saved for justification. I live the Christian life that I'm living now that I am saved, sanctification, living set apart for God's service, for again, away from the world and for God. And then one day, the rapture is going to take place where I'm going to die, and glorification is going to take place. I'll have a glorified body, and I will be like the Bible says, be like Christ or be like him. And we won't have the temptation, sorrow, all the trouble that we go through now. But we're living this life of sanctification, and we should live it under the Lord, and we should do our best at it. For a just man falleth how many times? And what does he do? Rises up again. And you're going to fail in the Christian life. You're going to have things that are going to trouble you. Sometimes it's going to be the world, the things that we're influenced by the world as far as what we see and hear. And sometimes it's our flesh. It's what we want to do instead of letting God do what he wants to do. We do what we want. That's our flesh. And then there's the devil. And church, when we underestimate the devil, and you think about it, it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2 and 3, or chapter 3, I mean, about the fall of man. It started then, it's still going on. Satan was that archangel that was cast out of heaven, and him and his demons, they're still causing havoc. And he's trying, and by the way, the God, little g, Satan, has blinded the eyes. There are people who are going to die and go to hell because of what Satan's doing. And church, we look around us and we think there's a what in the world? Such warped thinking. And really what it is, it's blind thinking. And the reason they're blind is because they're not saved. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Amen. Then I'm just trying to tell you, just because you're saved, Satan doesn't just leave you alone. And I think that we sometimes have a hard time to differentiate. Is it the devil? Is it my flesh? Sometimes we have a hard time understanding what's going on in our life. In Job, we know what took place with Job. Job's friends did not know what took place with Job. Job did not even know what was taking place as far as the conversation between Satan and God taking away the hedge and allowing that. All Job knew is this: he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And God allowed what Satan did, and it was by divine appointment, though it was Satan orchestrated. And so tonight, can I just talk to you for just a little bit tonight on the three tests of Satan for Job? And by the way, it's the same three tests you're going to go through. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Father, again, I love you. Thank you again for your people. Lord, I ask you to please forgive us where we fail you. Draw us closer to you tonight. And Father, there's nothing more important than what we're dealing with right now. Lord, thank you for letting us play basketball and volleyball. And Lord, maybe have a piece of pizza or have some food with fellowship. But Father, more important than that, may we not miss, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. May we understand that what we're doing this hour is of utmost importance, of what you want to do for us and to us and with us by the speaking of the Holy Spirit of God and that still small voice. Lord, would you do that in the hearts of people? Lord, if that person that thinks they're saved, not saved, draw them to you. Lord, help each Christian tonight to understand Satan's real. And Father, he wants to destroy us. Help us, Father, not to yield to temptation. May we be sober. May we be vigilant. May we be, again, seeing and understanding. Father, love you. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, church family, in Job chapter 1, would you look at your Bible now? Let's read a few verses together as we walk up to this together. Again, I don't plan on being very long tonight. I really want to try to go through this tonight. But I want to talk about just these three things before I get there. Let's look at the chapter. Chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was, what was it? First of all, he was what? Second of all? Third of all? And then last of all. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, his substance also. Now, church, I want you to notice the word also there. I want to tell you something. Your substance, as well, and he mentions family with substance, everything we have is a gift from God. Everything we have is a gift from God. God's the one that gives life. God's the one that takes life. God's the one that gives us children. God's the one that, if he decides, is the one that takes our children. But we understand that all of Job's wealth, as it's mentioned, his children and his wealth mentioned together. Look what happens next here in verse 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone on his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Now look at Job's prayer. First of all, he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according, number 2, to the number of them all. And then what's the third thing of Job's prayer? For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And the third thing Job did in his prayer, thus did Job continually. And again, the good pattern for us as far as praying for our family, we should do it early. We should pray for them all and we should do it continually. Verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. But church family, I don't believe for a second that Job, I'm sorry, forgive me. I don't believe for a second that Satan is all powerful. I don't believe for a second that Satan is all present. In other words, Satan can't be in several places at the same time. The only one who can do that is God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Satan can't do that, all right? But so Satan is going to and fro. Satan, again, I believe Satan has these the fallen angels that are helping him. But Satan, as he mentions from his own testimony but in the scripture here, he's going and looking to and fro. And look what God says in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Church, if you mark in your Bible, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse number 8, chapter 2, and verse number 3, you're going to find God's description of Job. I have heard preachers before that have put Job in a bad light. I just want to tell you, God didn't put him in a bad light. God put him in a very good light. There was none like him. They want to use chapter 40, in the chapter 40 to 42, where Job says, I repent in dust and ashes, where he saw himself as if Job was a very, very bad person. Job was a very good person. He just saw there was something better that he could do in his life. But God's testimony of him was that he was perfect. He was upright. He feared God and eschewed evil. Look what happens next now in verse number 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now look at what Satan says about Job in his hedge. Hast thou not made a hedge about? There's 3 things God made a hedge about Job. First of all, about him. Second of all, about his house. And third of all, about all that he hath. On every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. The church, I mean, that's the protection of God. You know, we talk about, God, would you please put a hedge of protection? We take it from this verse here out of the book of Job. You know, sometimes we fail to understand the reason your car's running because God lets it run. Now, it runs because I got bumper to bumper. Well, you better hold on to your bumper. God can take that away too. You know, we sometimes fail to understand that the blessings of God does not come from insurance or doctors. The blessing of God comes because he puts his hand on us. And he protects us. And to think about all that Satan would like to do. And that's what I want to deal with tonight. The 3 things that are mentioned that Satan attacked specifically when it came to Job himself. So we see that God put a hedge around him, about his house, and about all that he hath. Again, we pick it up now in verse number 11. Satan said to God, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, church, I mean, Job is a very familiar story. So if you don't mind, I'm going to walk through the story while I'm teaching these three or preaching on these three thoughts tonight. But there were three things specifically that Satan went to God and said, hey, listen, I want to attack, and he didn't say it this way, but I want to attack Job in these areas. Now, church family, I think these same three things is where Satan attacks us in our life also. Now, there might be more, but we know from this particular story there are at least three that Satan does when he wants to attack the Christian. All right, and I think the first one we just got done reading. Hey, doth Job serve thee for naught? Now, think about the phrase that's mentioned more than once. In verse number 10, he says, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath? Did you notice that phrase is again mentioned in verse number 11? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath. It's mentioned again in verse number 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath. Sherman, can I just tell you that when Satan wants to attack you, and again, he has to get permission by God. Aren't you glad of that? Satan just cannot do whatever he pleases. Satan still answers to God. He will always answer to God. We know the end of Satan. We understand that Satan's going to be cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then after that, be loosed for a short season. And then the Bible says at the end of the battle of Gog and Magog, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. We know what his end is. He knows what his end is. Satan can't do anything without permission from God. Satan can't do anything to you without permission from God. But can I just tell you that one of the attacks of Satan upon us is what we have. You say, well, Pastor Hanks, it's not a big deal. I don't have much. But wait a second here. Think about what he attacked. You got your Bible there? Look at your Bible again, chapter number 1. So God says, that's fine. Spare his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, verse 12, verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came one also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Church, do you understand that when it came to what he hath, he lost all of his wealth, but he lost all of his children. Yes. Hey, I know if you and I think the same. Listen to me tonight. I think to myself, hey, if Satan attacks me, takes away my house, we're okay. If Satan attacks, takes away my car, it's okay. If Satan attacks me, takes away my retirement. And by the way, in 2008, there are many people even in our church, they lost their retirement. Amen. By the way, that could happen again. Amen. And you say to yourself, well, I'm still alive. I'm still saved. I'm on my way to heaven, and praise God for that. But I want to tell you something. We think this thing a little bit differently when our children get attacked. Right. But that was part of what Job had, that God had given him. I think Mark even mentioned in his prayer, if I remember correctly, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, using those verses in Psalm 127. We understand that the fruit of the womb is his reward. Boy, I tell you, in all these days of this child planning and trying to figure out how many children you should have, can I just tell you, you ought to have as many children God wants you to have. And can I also tell you, you can plan all you want. If God doesn't want you to have children, he's not going to give you any children. But I understand, and we should understand, that what we have, whether it's monetarily or whether it's in children, I'm just trying to tell you, Satan doesn't want you to have. Listen, I've seen Christians that have gotten discouraged because of the lack of things. Hey, and having food and raiment, let us be there with what? Content. It's not about this world's goods as far as what we can have. But can I just tell you that everything you do have, as David said, is a blessing from the Lord, and the Lord is the one that gives it to us. I was trying to remember where I saw that verse. It was in the book of 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. It says, David said, for who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? He was collecting for the temple. He says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You know, it'd be one thing to lose what God's given us when it comes to monetary, but it's another thing to lose our children. I'm just trying to tell you that Satan went after the kids. He went after the kids. And church family, that has not changed. Satan is constantly trying to get your children. He's trying to keep your children from serving God. In this situation, he took their life. But I want to tell you, in some cases, there's things that are worse than them, than your children losing their lives. I was talking to a preacher one time, and a preacher said, you know what? My child went wayward. He said, this is what he said. It would have been better for them to die so that I could have closure, so that we could have closure, than for them to live for the devil, and every day of my life I have to see what they're doing against God. Church, I mean, we wake up tonight and understand that yes, the children are a blessing from the Lord, but those children that God had given you, you have a responsibility to protect them from Satan. Satan trying to destroy them. I was talking to somebody just before the service, and we were talking. In the day that we're living today, children are more bombarded by the world than ever before. And by the way, we have the same flesh that we had 20, 50 years ago, the same flesh we have today. We cannot make excuses for why our kids are doing wrong just because of technology. They have the same flesh today as we had flesh back then, okay? There's a choice involved. But I'm just trying to say access for our flesh is there. And you know what that's about? That's Satan. That's Satan. Satan is making a way to destroy our families. Can I just put out another warning to you? This is crazy, letting our children have open access to the internet. That's the craziest thing in the world. Because I'm just trying to tell you that your children are not as good as you think they are. You say, how do you know that? Because they're just like you. God gave them for us to protect, to keep safe, and Satan's doing everything he can to destroy those children. Why? Because that's what he does to you. That's his attack, not just on your children, that's his attack on you, is to destroy their influence and destroy their lives. You know, it's interesting, you look at the book of Proverbs and he talks about the parent-child relationship. And one of the things that really hurts a parent more than anything else is to see a child go wayward. Amen. You know what that is? It's an attack of Satan. That's an attack of Satan. Yes, it's Satan trying to attack the child, but it's also Satan attacking the parent. Why? Because it's what you have. As the scripture says, hath, H-A-T-H, it's what God's given you. And Satan is after that. Just remember, let's look at the second thing that's interesting as far as Satan's attack. And again, I know these are obvious to us. But Satan's going to attack what you have. But also, Satan's going to attack your health. Look at chapter number 2. And obviously, we know he got boils. But look at chapter 2, verse number 4. And Satan answered the Lord, chapter 2, and verse 4. And Satan said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. So when Satan put forth... So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. You know, there's something about a person's physical health that really affects their spiritual health. And we don't think a whole lot about it. But you remember when Elijah was running from Jezebel, and of course he ran into the wilderness. Did you realize the very first thing God did for Elijah was he fed him? Amen. You know the very next thing that God did for Elijah after running from Jezebel? I mean, Elijah, the first statement out of his mouth, I just want to die. I don't deserve to live. So God sends an angel, he feeds him. And then the Bible says that Elijah rested. You know, there's something about the physical nature of us that does affect our spirituality if we're not careful. Amen. You need to be conscious of that. Church, I'm not tease a little bit as far as having that doctrine for my name. It's just somebody's asked me the other day, why as far as a doctorate? The only thing a doctorate does is for the lost world. It does nothing for Christians, really. But the lost world, they respect education. Obviously, they look at education different than a Christian looks at it, you know. But I'm not a medical doctor, religious doctor. But as a medical doctor, sometimes if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in what the medical profession says instead of what God says. That's right. Amen. Some of you tonight, you know, you're healthy as a horse and everything's going fine, but what about tomorrow when you're not as healthy as a horse? Amen. The second attack of Satan. First attack, I'm going to take what he has. Second attack, I'm going to take his health. Now, God didn't allow Satan to kill Job, but he did allow him to take his health. And I'm telling you, sometimes people make really bad spiritual decisions because they're physically going through a time in their life. Church, I mean, we all know, and again, I want to be careful how we say things tonight. We all understand that not every sickness is Satan orchestrated. Are you with me tonight? I mean, do you remember when the disciples came to Jesus and that fellow was blind? And they said, hey, Jesus, is this guy? The disciples asked him, talking about Jesus, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Just remember, every sickness is not the devil. Some sicknesses God allows for the glory of God. Some sickness God allows in our life to test our faith. Sometimes there's sickness that happens in our life, and it's because it's self-inflicted. But can I just tell you that in this situation, it's very, very clear that the reason he had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet is because it was an attack of Satan. I think there's sometimes people get down and discouraged in their life, and what they don't understand, it's not the circumstances. It's Satan. Amen. Satan wants you to give up. Satan doesn't want you to keep going. Satan doesn't want you to get spiritual help. He wants you to get some other type of help. Now, we understand. By the way, if you're sick, then there's some things you can do. The first thing you should always do when you're sick, pray. Amen. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. The first thing you should be doing is the first thing you should go to is God. Isn't it amazing that as soon as we get sick, the first thing we do is we go to the medicine cabinet? Is there anything wrong with medicine? All right. Now listen, I'm going to say some things. This is Scott Hanks, just so that you know, okay? I think we take too much medicine. Amen. My name is Dr. Scott Hanks, by the way. But I don't think that we have to be, I'm one of those people, and I just grew up that way. I don't take medicine unless I absolutely, absolutely have to. I'm not going to do it. But there's other people, man alive, I mean, if your toe starts to ache, I need something. Give me some Tylenol, quick. I want to take it now so I don't have to hurt later. Awful quiet in here. Don't be a hypochondriac. All righty? You don't have to run to the medicine cabinet just because. First thing you ought to do, God, I'm not feeling well today. Would you please help me feel better? All right? Some of you guys, stop eating your wife's cooking. No, you might not say that. All right, so what you need to do is, first of all pray, all right? Second of all, you do what you know you're supposed to do when you're sick. Amen. You don't go out and give it to everybody else. Bless God, I'm going to go to work no matter how I feel, all right? Now, some of that's character, but some of that's foolishness. If you're sick, you're sick. By the way, if you start to have a fever and you're starting to get sick, that's your body telling you something's not right, all right? I know we're not having a medical session right now, but I'm just trying to say it's real simple. Whenever you start to get afflictions, now Job's affliction was boils, but in our situation, the devil's going to attack you sometimes with your health. First thing you do is pray. Second thing you do is you do what you know you're supposed to do. All right, if you're sick, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of medicine. There's nothing wrong with stopping and getting some rest, okay? I think third of all, a person can't go to a doctor. I don't think that the medical profession is all bad, all right? You know, it's funny because some of you in here, I love you, but you're different, okay? But the problem is the pendulum has to go all the way to the left or all the way to the right. How come we can't just be in the middle? I mean, some of you, I wouldn't go to the doctor if my life depended on it. It will one of these days. Go ahead. Okay? And then you've got the other side of the pendulum where you go, man, you go to the doctor for everything. All righty? I'm just trying to say is there needs to be some type of middle ground. Go to God in prayer first. Do what you know to do for your life as far as for health. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are supposed to take care of it. And I know, Church Family, God made us all differently, okay? So I'm on the bench the other day. We were playing basketball last night, and my wife said, do you want something to drink? I said, yeah, I'll take a Mountain Dew. You say, why did you do that? Okay, I'm going to tell you why I did that, okay? Because I like how Mountain Dew tastes. It's a good thing I'm not hooked on alcohol. Okay. Now, there's some of you in here, you have not had a pop in years, all right? Bless God, praise the Lord, take care of the temple. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But what I'm trying to say is when it comes to our health, we should do the best that we can as far as taking care of the temple. But understand, sometimes you have to go to the doctor. Yeah. And sometimes the doctor's going to say, hey, listen, you need to lose some weight, you're fat. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit pinpoints the problem. Satan's going to attack you. He's going to attack you, first of all. He's going to attack you as far as what you have, and sometimes that's our kids. Second of all, Satan's going to attack you. He's going to attack you in your health, all right? And sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it can be mental. But there's things that we go through in our life, and I'm just telling you something that's real, and it's because of what Satan's trying to do, all right? Last of all, here's the last thought I want you to think about. We don't normally see this because Satan, when he goes to God twice. But I want you to notice what happens next, okay? Now remember now, in verse number 7, he gets boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Then in verse number 9, you have his wife. Then said his wife unto him, verse 9, chapter 2, dost thou still retain thine integrity, curse God and die. Now, children, I don't think Job had a bad wife. And I want to tell you why, because of verse 10. It says in verse number 10, but he said unto her, now, let me say first of all what he didn't say. But he said unto her, thou foolish woman. He didn't say that. He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did Job not sin with his lips. Church, I don't think Job's wife was as bad as everybody said she was. She sees her husband that they just lost everything. She just lost 10 children. And she sees her husband with boils on top of his head. And she's just saying, now listen, you're going through all this, son, or dear, just give up. Stop. She had just gotten seen all this happen. He says, listen, you're speaking like some of those foolish women. Don't do that. God can give good, God can do bad, but God's still God. All right? Look, but look what happens next. First you have his wife, then you get verse number 11. Now when Job's three friends heard all this evil that was come upon him, they came. Church, we understand that chapter number 3 through chapter 37, and we had a lesson on that this morning, of all the things they said about Job. Job, you're wicked. Job, you're a liar. Job, you're a hypocrite. Job, God wouldn't allow all this to happen if you weren't innocent. Remember all those verses that we saw of all the accusations that they made concerning him. Church, I want to tell you something. I think Satan uses the criticism of others. I want to show you another verse that really why I think that. Look at chapter number 4. All right, you're in chapter number 4. Look at verse number 13. Eliphaz is speaking to Job, and here's what he says. Verse 13, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me. Now Eliphaz is speaking here. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. Now Eliphaz is giving a personal experience on why Job is so bad. He says, Eliphaz says, then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice. Now, church, I don't know about you, but Eliphaz, I think this is demonic. I saw an image. I heard a voice, and this is what it said. Listen to what this image or this voice that he heard said in verse 17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Now, those are good questions, but look at verse 18. Behold, he put no trust, God put no trust in his servants, talking about God, but he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. Well, who was the angels that were charged with folly? It was Satan and the fallen angels. I won't take time to read the rest of these verses, you can, but you'll notice that here's what this image, this voice that Eliphaz is hearing. Hey, Job, what do you think you're doing? You're not better than God. And all those things were saying, but they were saying it in criticism of Job. Remember what we talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning? The things that Job's friends said were not necessarily untrue. They were just untrue about Job. Amen. Now, can I just tell you, just looking at the passages here, I'm just trying to tell you, how is Satan going to attack you? He's going to attack you by taking away what you have. He's going to attack you by taking away your health. But he's going to attack you with the criticism of others. Now, I know we touched on a little bit this morning, and I'm not going to be really long on saying all these things, but I'm just trying to tell you, most of us can take criticism from without, but we don't do very good with taking criticism from within.
That's right. Amen.
We don't like it when people we love say things we don't want to hear. We don't like it when people criticize us that are members of the church or people that we've known a long time. Now, listen to me, church family. You've got to get a Job skin.
Amen.
Job defended his innocence, but he never really attacked his friends. Now, his friends didn't do right. He told them, hey, listen, you're physicians of no value. He says, you're miserable comforters. In fact, a couple times he said, would you just please leave me alone? But when it all came down to it, the only reason God spared Job from his captivity is because he prayed for his friends.
Amen.
Hey, listen, you're going to get criticized. Church family, are you saved tonight? Say amen. Then can I just tell you, you're a very judgmental person. Because I want to tell you, if you're saved tonight, you still have your flesh, and we have a tendency to be judgmental of people. Just remember, in just a few moments, Lord permitting, we're going to go over and play a game of basketball. I just want you to leave your ears open and find out how judgmental people get. In the gymnasium, people are going to be judgmental of the people that are on the court. In just a few minutes, people that are in the gymnasium will be very judgmental of these guys that are wearing black and white for some reason. Hey, can I just tell you, it's part of our nature, because that's what we are, is to make us the standard and criticize everybody else. Listen to me. You can't let that stop you or keep you from... That's a satanic attack. Just remember, what did God say in Revelation 12, verse number 10? When he was talking about Satan, he said, the accuser of the brethren. You ever thought about that when you start being judgmental of the brethren, you're acting like the devil? That's what Satan does. The Bible says that's what Satan does day and night. It was Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10, but I can't find it here. Revelation 12, verse number 10. It says, and, oh, here's a portion. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, before our God, day and night. Day and night. Hey, listen, I'm not the devil, but I know sometimes, some of you think I am, but anyway, I'm not the devil, but can I just tell you, sometimes I have a hard time because of my own flesh, and sometimes I have a hard time because of what's going on in the world, things I see in here that I shouldn't. But there are times it's Satan. Can I tell you when it's Satan, what he's going to do according to the story? He's going to attack what you have. Okay, so he might not be able to get Brother Painter, pastor of the Lincoln Baptist Church, but I promise you he is after Brother Painter through what he has. What does he have?
Yes.
7 children, right?
Yes.
Satan's going to be after what you have.
Amen.
Some of you tonight, you're in the service tonight, but you're not in the service tonight. You're having a rough time, and it's of a physical nature, and you're not the only one. There's other people. Sometimes you get the, and by the way, some of you act like Elijah. I'm the only one. You're not the only one. There's 7,000 haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You're not the only one. That's satanic. He's trying to destroy your health. And by the way, when your health gets down, your spirituality gets down. That's why you get into that mode of nobody cares about me, nobody checks on me, nobody, it doesn't matter if I'm not even here. If I wasn't here, it wouldn't matter. No, that's the devil. Listen, your physical does affect your spiritual. You want help? They're having barbecue pork sandwiches tonight. Go eat one. Somebody, if you just had a good meal, you'd feel better. All right. Last of all, how's Satan going to attack you? He's going to attack you because people are going to be critical of you. Church family, God gave those children to you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about your family. You know, we're all affected by what we see and hear. You know, there's so many things that play into our life because of the 10,000 instructors that God gives us in our life. But can I just tell you something? You're the only one that has to answer to God for the way you are. And you don't have to answer anybody else. And so sometimes the accuser of the brethren, that's satanic. And he's going to attack you. How do I know he's going to attack you? Because the Bible says in John that what does the thief come for? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he wants to do with you. If you're a young person and you're 18 or younger, would you just stand for a second? 18 or younger, just stand up for a second. Quite a few of you. Listen, I know right now you think, you know, it's not a big deal as far as what you do, but I'm just trying to tell you, what you do now is going to affect you later.
Yes,
amen. And by the way, Satan knows that more than you know that. So Satan's doing everything he can to destroy your life, for you to get upset with authority in your life, for you not to like the rules in your life, for you not to like your parents in your life, for you not to like preaching in your life. Oh, how long is this service going to last? That's satanic. I'm just telling you, Satan is trying to destroy your usefulness later by destroying you now.
Amen.
He's real. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This isn't just about your life now. It's about your influence later. You may be seated. Bow your head and close your eyes. Father, thank you again for the story of Job. And Lord, thank you for Job's testimony. May we again do accordingly. Help us understand Satan's going to attack us by what we have, by our health, by the criticism of others. Lord, help us to be faithful and help us to be strong Christians and help us to be in your word. Lord, again, would you bless now the invitation? May we again do business with you. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.